Aleluia. All right. I feel the presence of God in this place tonight, folks. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, that's it. Come on, He's here right now. He's here in this place right now. Hallelujah. Oh, have your way, God. Have your way, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, I believe living for Jesus Christ is the greatest and most important thing you could ever do. Jesus Christ. When God created Adam and Eve, He created them for one purpose, and that was to have relationship with Him. It's when we get sidetracked, folks, just like Adam and Eve. Let me tell you something today. If there's anything in your life, if it's a job, if it's a relationship, if it's a car, if it's a house, whatever it is, if there's anything in your life more important than God, you're off track. Come on. Amen. You're off track. And our God wants this church to get back on track. You see, I believe I got the greatest marriage around. But God's more important to me than my wife. That's why I can have a great relationship, because I have a priority. You don't last going on 33 years without God in the middle. Come on, without God leading the pack. Amen? And I'm very blessed. I'm a blessed man. But God is most important. And that's why I am so blessed. Now, I've come here tonight to tell you, you got to put God first. God has to be first in your life. And I'm going to talk to you tonight about stirring up a passion for Jesus. Amen? Stirring up a passion for Jesus. The devil wants us to think that a relationship with somebody of the opposite sex is the most important. You need that in your life. Well, if you need that, that's all well and good, but you better put God first. Come on. Hallelujah. He'll tell you that you need a certain job to make a certain living. I'm telling you, you better put God first. You got to live a certain lifestyle. You better put God first. Psalm 69, verse 8 and 9. We're also going to read from John chapter 2. Psalm 69, verse 8. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. Verse 9, listen to this. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. John chapter 2, verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Lord, right now, I thank you for what I feel in this place. I thank you, God, that you're going to speak to hearts here tonight. That you're going to help us, Lord God. You're going to move. And Lord, as we spoke this morning, not only hear the word, but God, that we will apply it. That we will obey the word tonight, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, can we give him a hand clap of praise? Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. You can be seated tonight. Zeal is an enthusiastic devotion to a cause, an idea, or a goal, and tireless diligence in its furtherance. Hear me tonight, folks. Talking about zeal. It is an enthusiastic devotion to a cause. It is an ideal or a goal or a tireless diligence in its furtherance. An interchangeable word for zeal is passion, which means an ardent love, strong desire, or an abandoned emotion. We need a zeal for the things of God. Amen? I'm going to read a couple stories to you. A man in India, he's famous. His name is Alamar Bharti. One day in 1973, Mr. Bharti decided to raise his right arm 90 degrees in the air. He claims that he has not lowered it since that time. And nearly 29 years later, Bharti's right arm has remained extended upward. Recent pictures of the Indian man reveal fingers that which have withered into the palm of his hand. His knuckles are white and rotting. His fingernails have grown long and twisted. And when they asked why he constantly keeps his arm raised, he explained it is a gesture of devotion to Hindu god Shiva. Ladam Babe, another Indian citizen, Mr. Babe, an Indian Sadhu holy man, accomplished something that can only be described as bizarre. Over a period of 8 months, in 1994, Mr. Baby rolled his body 2,485 miles, 973 yards from the city of Ratham to Jammu, India, while he averaged 6 to 7 miles per day. Some days, he rolled as many as 13 miles. And while rolling, he did not eat. He only sipped water and occasionally smoked a cigarette. Upon finally reaching his destination, a religious temple on 5,000-foot mountain, his blistered and calloused body finally stopped. And when they asked why he rolled across India, he explained it was to pay homage to the goddess Vishnu Devi and to achieve peace and unity for India. What caused these men to sacrifice their jobs, their homes, their lives, their very existence to pursue what we would consider such trivial pursuits? Was it money? Was it fame? Was it material possessions? The presence of a gun to their head? No, folks, what motivated them was pure passion and zeal for their cause. Passion, folks, is what separates the men from the boys and the women from the girls. Passion is what separates the prayers from the players. Passion is what separates the intercessors from the interferers. Passion is what separates the contenders from the pretenders. Passion separates compliments from the complainers. Passion separates supporters from reporters having to constantly broadcast what's wrong with the church. Passion is what the church, folks, is missing today. Like the old song says, it's the thing, the very thing. It is what we must acquire. Let us pray once more as they pray to yore for the Pentecostal fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Understand tonight, folks, passion is what separated Mary and Martha. You see, Martha was more worried about the setting, but Mary was only worried about sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha had a passion for the work of God, but Mary had a passion for the God of the work. Hallelujah. Passion, amen, is what the difference between Demas and Timothy. The Bible says Demas forsook Paul with the allure of the world, became so strong. But Timothy, Paul said, I call to remembrance your unfeigned faith. Cain and Abel. Cain tried to slide by with a half-hearted sacrifice that cost him nothing, but Abel was willing to shed the blood in his worship. I tell you this, folks, when you have a passion for Jesus Christ, you are willing to lay on the altar anything else that distracts you from God. Saul and David, the rich young ruler and the disciples. You see, when he left, when the rich young ruler left sorrowfully, Jesus turned to his disciples and he asked this question of his disciples. He said, "Will you go also?" To which they replied to Jesus, "Lord, where would we go?" You see, God, we've sold out to you. Amen. Judas and Peter, folks, when Judas never found a place of repentance, Peter repented and preached the message of salvation. You see, the success stories are separated from the failures not by perfection. They are separated not by a pedigree. They're not separated by a talent or wealth or status. You know what they're separated by? A passion. Passion that kept them at the feet of Jesus when they had a million other places to go. Why today, folks, do Christians lack passion? Because we have allowed something precious to become familiar, to become ordinary, to become everyday common. You see, folks, marriages sometimes that have gone dry because one or both couples have allowed that preciousness of the relationship to lapse. You see, the greatest weapon the enemy uses against our relationships is tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to take my kids to the park. Tomorrow, I'm going to take my wife out for a date. Tomorrow, I'm going to take my son fishing. Tomorrow, I'm going to go back to church. Tomorrow, I'm really going to get on fire for God. Tomorrow, I'm going to get serious about my salvation. You see, we just take for granted that there will be tomorrow. That we're going to take for granted, folks, that the church is always going to be there. We take for granted that the altar of repentance and fire will always be there, folks. But let me tell you something today. We cannot lose our passion. You know why sometimes people have a hard time living for God? Is because they have a need for approval. We all want to be loved and we all want to feel needed. We all want to be accepted by other people. If you want real passion, you need to understand and you need to recognize, folks, that while passion draws some people, it also repels others. A desire for popularity pours water on the fire of passion for God. And without thinking about it, folks, we turn the fire of passion down and we trade passion for approval. Apathy always messes with a walk for God. That word means without love. People have lost their love for God. What once caused our hearts to beat faster now barely affects our pulse. We fall into a routine. We fall into these ruts. You know what a rut is? A rut is a grave that the ends are knocked out of. You see, folks, we become a routine about our faith, don't we? We become routine about going to church. We don't deny Christ. We just demote Him to that commonplace. Apathy is not a state of mind. Apathy is the condition of a heart. Another thing that affects our walk with God is allowing people to affect you. You've heard the expression, birds of a feather flock together. Well, the same is with people. There's a saying, you are who you hang around. Come on. You see, it was a saying that reminded us to be careful who we spend our time with, because it will affect our walk with God. When you take a red hot poker out of a fire and you throw it on the hearth, what happens to it? It cools down. It slowly loses that red glow. What happens when we remove ourselves, folks, from God's furnace and we hang around cold, lifeless places and people? What happens is we get cold. We wax cold. You see, it was a warning that Jesus gave to his disciples in Matthew 24, verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That word wax means to wane gradually. The passion, folks, doesn't go out in an instant like a candle or a flame being snuffed when a strong gust of wind blows through the window. It just cools gradually. Passion seeping out a little bit here and a little bit there. What happens when passion is lost? In Revelations chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith that he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, God just said all these good things about them. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now I want you to notice something about this passage, folks. When you read in that passage, it says the church was a serving church. The Lord said, I know thy deeds. The church was a sacrificing church. He says, you are hard at work. This church was a steadfast church. And the Lord says, and your perseverance. The church was a sanctified church. You cannot tolerate the wicked, he said. You have tested those that say they are apostles and are not. This church was a suffering church. The Lord says, you have preserved and have endured many hardships. But, now wait a minute. According to today's standards, this was a church of the now generation. Folks, this was a happening place. This church had all the right stuff. What could God possibly see wrong with this church? You see, it seems the Ephesian church had the fire once, but they let it go cold. They left their first love. Listen, folks, hear me tonight. Service is not the same as passion. Hear me? I said service is not the same as passion. It is possible, folks, to serve God without passion. Serving God out of a sense of duty will drain you. Living for God out of legalism will sap the passion out of your life. Service alone will not produce passion. Hear me. Passion, folks, is a state of the heart. How do I restore passion to my life? The Word of God repeats over again the importance of maintaining a spiritual fire. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it warns the believer, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Make sure, folks, make sure tonight you have a fireplace. Come on. In 1 Timothy 1, Paul exhorts the young pastor Timothy, he said, to stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Everyone knows that a fireplace is a safe place to have a fire. Amen. It is a place where you can put logs together and they share each other's heat. Amen. Christians, hear me tonight. Christians need a place where their passion can burn brightly, where their passion is encouraged, and where their passion of one person can inflame the passion of somebody else. Come on! We need each other! The church is God's gift of a fireplace to a passionate Christian. You see, He gave us the church. Folks, I'm telling you something. Nothing frustrates me more than when you hear somebody say, I don't have to have a church to serve God. You are a fool. Who created the church? Who died for the church? Come on! Who trained 12 men and said, this is how I want it to operate when I'm on? This is God's church. This is His bride. And He's coming back for a bride. God gave us the church as a fireplace, as a safe place to burn. Christians who are living with a passion for Christ in a world, folks, that resists the passion that God wants us to have, you need the church. I did it again, Brother Alejandro. Got one towel home wet. I need another one. God gave us the church. Hear me. It's for us. We need to come together as a body of Christ. Amen. And we need to, amen, burn and rub off on each other and say, hey, brother, I need you. Amen. The church is where love for Christ is openly expressed. You may not be able to go to work and talk about God, but you can come to church and praise Him. You can shout for Him. Amen. You can talk about His love. You can testify about His love. Hallelujah. It's for us. Thank you. It's for us. Realize, folks, that fire changes its surroundings. Fire changes its environment. Determine that passion makes a difference. A Christian without passion, folks, is like a river without water. Passion energizes the Christian life. Passion gives us additional focus in life. And without the passion of God in our lives, we will lead dull and draining existence. Passion is one of the ways that God empowers our lives. Amen. Romans 12:11 says, never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. It's all some people can do to get out the door to go to church once a week. The scripture says, never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Passion for God protects me from wrongdoing. My passion to please Him causes me to say no to temptation. Come on. I don't want to sin against my God. You see, when Joseph was down there in Egypt, folks, he had it going on. He was the head of all Potiphar's house. And you know what happened when that lady came against him? He said, I'm not going to sin against my God. Why? He had a passion for God. Hallelujah. My passion to please God causes me to say no to temptation. My passion for God is what happens in my life, causes me to instantly recognize any departure from the things of God. We have to be careful. Associate with passionate people. Don't associate with dull, dead, no boring people.
It was a good service.
Fire needs to be fed in order to keep growing. Come on. I'll tell you what, I got a bonfire going in my little pit out there. I can burn a lot of wood. But the minute I stop feeding it, it dies down. Why do you want to hang with people who want to drag you down? Let me tell you something. If you can't set them on fire, get away from them. You see, folks, it is true that people affect how we live and how we walk. If that's true, then we need to spend time with people who are passionate about our God. Amen? It will cause our hearts to grow brighter if we sit around people who are passionate and say, man, living for God is just awesome. You see, Paul reminded the young apprentice, Timothy, about the power of people to affect his own flame. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now it lives in you. Come on, I want to know, is anybody, can somebody say that about you tonight, that they see a passion in your life? Amen, can they say that? David got a band of men together, 400 men. All these men were in debt, discontented, and discouraged. You see, but David helped them. David encouraged them. Amen. And when they came and took all of David's family and all these men, amen, David was discouraged for a minute there because these men were mad at him and they wanted to get rid of him. They took his wives and everybody took him down to Ziklag. And the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Let me tell you something, folks. It's good. We need each other. And don't get me wrong. But sometimes we need to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Amen? We need to say, God, I don't want to feel like this. I don't like feeling down. God, help me quit giving myself a pity party. God, I just want to worship you. I want to praise you right now. Hallelujah. Pray for passion in your life. Let me tell you something tonight, folks. God's fire is a gift to us. We shouldn't walk around dragging our lip. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. You see, folks, it's great to have people that encourage us. But you need to encourage also. I'm telling you, sometimes it just weighs on you when somebody just constantly, oh, I hope I can walk through that gate.
when the God takes me to the pearly gate. I hope I can make it.
Have you ever tried fanning yourself? Have you tried encouraging yourself? Come on, folks. Well, we need it. And there are times, I think, when we need it. I've had my times. But folks, I'm telling you what, I also need to learn. Hey, somebody tells me, hey, ask me, how's your day? It's good. Pastor, are you lying?
Well, it could be worse, probably.
But to me, I'm considering it a good day. I'm alive. God woke me up this morning. He didn't have to, but He did. Come on, I'm breathing. I say that's a good day. I don't want to drag my lip around. I don't want to boo-hoo and whine. It doesn't do any good anyways. Is there anybody here that you get off and you feel great about complaining and whining and boo-hooing? Quit lying. Some of you. Just kidding. The Lord said, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. How would Timothy do that? How would he fan the flames of the gift? Prayer's a good way, isn't it? Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. I'm sure God would like to hear you thank Him for His blessings in your life. Instead of saying, God, why don't you give me this? And God, why can't I go here? And God, why do I got to do this? Now, I know God loves you. He loves everybody. But there's sometimes He's like, oh, dear. Oh. You know, we can say, dear Jesus, but He's like, oh, myself. Come on. Oh, my goodness. That'd probably be something good for Him to say. But continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. Folks, earnestly, fervently, diligently, these words speak of passion. Anything worthwhile, anything good, any good thought, any inspiration for songs, poems, music, any concern for people comes from prayer. And I'm telling you, folks, there are times we can be very selfish. Well, I know that's going on at church, but I got stuff to do. Let somebody else do it. Selfish. Come on. I know pastor can use help in this, and I know I have the talent, but I don't have the time. Selfish. I know pastor wants us to do Bible studies, but I just don't have the time. Selfish. Come on. You can come up here and repent in a little bit. I'll have an altar call. Prayer. God, give me a burden. Give me a burden. Folks, come on. When I was in Ritten with Brother Nichols, I said, God, give me my pastor's burden. Lord, give me my pastor's burden. Help me, God. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. Hallelujah, folks. I believe God honors those things. God brought me here to Cleveland to pastor a church. And I pray that there are saints in this church that say, God, give me my pastor's burden for souls. Come on. Prayer will change you. Prayer is the key to restoring passion in your life, in your ministry, and in your marriage. John Wesley once asked the secret about his ministry. He said this, I ask God to set me on fire and to let people watch me burn. My prayer for you, folks, this church, my life, and family is to ask God for His holy fire. God, let it burn in your soul, setting you on fire. Why? For His kingdom. Let's stand in this house tonight. God, help us. God, set us on fire. God, help us to have a passion for Your kingdom. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, folks. It is a good life living for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil rob you of what God can do in your life. Give your life 100% to God. Be sold out. Say, God, help me to have a passion. Maybe at one time in your life, maybe there was a time when you would get a hold of God and you would seek God. And maybe things in this life, the cares of this world has pulled you away from that. I want to open this altar tonight for those. Say, God, forgive me for my slothfulness. God, help me. God, I want you to stir that. Fan those flames in me tonight. Is there anybody here, amen, that wants to get close to God, wants to have a relationship with a God that'll change your life? Amen. That'll bless you beyond blessing, folks. I'm telling you, you live for God tonight. If you're here, you need the Holy Ghost tonight. You can have the Holy Ghost in this place because God wants you to have a passion for Him.
Jesus,
come on. This altar's open for somebody that wants God to fan the flames of revival in your life. In Jesus' name.
Beginning to